I'ma take you to the hotel, at the top of the world in a motel. We could party till the sun comes up. We're drunk. You could be my one and only. Be my baby when I'm lonely. We ain't gotta keep it holy till we get to matrimony. Let's party all night till we vibe in the morning. Let's do the thing right. Got the juice and Patron. We don't ever even have to wait. That's just the bleed I have to take. We gon' get crazy end of the day. Tryna love in every way. Let's get right. We could lose all in the club right now. And I might. And I might. Baby girl, let's take time. I could take time of the day or the time only for my baby. For my baby. You could be my one and only. Be my baby when I'm lonely. We don't gotta keep it holy till we get to matrimony. Let's party all night till we vibe in the morning. So let's do the thing right. Got the juice and Patron.
WSJU Radio, DJ Mad Max on the airwaves up here at St. John's University from the borough of Queens. And we have a legend in the making in the booth with me here tonight. Goes by the name of Forrest West.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's happening? What's happening?
Yo, I mean, I appreciate you coming here tonight. And I recognize your talent. Ever since you walked through the doors here, the first time I met you back in September, I believe it was.
Yep.
And I remember you just being a humble kid coming here and grinding out. And you're now the executive DJ up
yes,
here
sir.
At WSJU. Yes, another round of applause, and you're fulfilling
thank
the duties
you,
that weren't
you,
that
you.
Weren't done before. So, Caleb, how is it going?
It's
Forrest
good,
West?
Man. It's good. I'm doing a lot of things. I'm working on some new music. I'm working on this album that's going to come out sometime this year. I'm not going to put the date out there yet, but it's coming out sometime soon, sooner than later. So I'm doing that. I'm working on some new performances. Shout out the Apollo. Me and the Apollo are going to be doing something real soon
okay,
for the
that's
summer.
Iconic, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going out there doing some interviews on the radio and doing what I got to do here at the radio station at school and here at St. John's and doing what I got to do for
how many
my
interviews have you done before?
I'm pretty new to this. I would say, I'll probably say this probably like my fourth or fifth
interview.
Fourth
that's good.
Fifth interview. Yeah, man. Today this is my second interview today. Not gonna lie to you.
Really?
Yeah, I was at the Apollo earlier today.
Really?
Doing an interview for their website.
How was that? How'd that go?
It was amazing. It was such a different thing for me because they wanted me to do all this stuff that I can't necessarily go into detail about.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really like. Next level for me to you know to walk into some place like the Apollo that has such a history and such a story behind it.
Yeah, that stage
and
is just brutal for a lot of people.
Oh my gosh! And I was there a couple of years ago doing an amateur night, and so to be back in those doors, not necessarily as an amateur, but for them to bring me in is you know a step in the right direction for me. So that really gave me a kick today. So, yeah.
Now, looking back on the Apollo and just seeing other performances there, I've seen Lauryn Hill booed at the Apollo, which is insane because of the legend she turned out to be. Do you feel like the Apollo performances have changed over the years and they've gotten lighter for artists?
I mean, I want to say the audience has definitely gotten a little lighter, I would say. But in terms of the Sandman coming out, my guy CP Lacey, they've stuck to their tradition and they've stuck to their ways, and I believe that real, true, genuine music starts at the Apollo. Mm. So I really do applaud them, and I'm going to keep applauding them for their work and, you know, finding who's who and really putting these artists through the tests and the trials that are needed, you know, to really be an artist in today's time and even back then's time, mm-hmm. you know. So I believe that the Apollo's doing the thing, man. I believe they're doing their thing and they're doing it well.
And when do you think you'll be hitting that stage again there?
Specifics not yet, but sometime in July. Sometime this year in July, you will find me on an Apollo stage. Look out for that on my Instagram, on my social medias. I'll be posting and giving subtle hints and stuff like that. So I'll be there sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the beginning of Forest West, tell me, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a lot of places. Yeah. I spent my early childhood till about maybe like 3 in the South Bronx, Bristol Street. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Westchester to New Rochelle and spent a lot of my school time and my life there. And then we moved back to the Bronx for me to start high school. And that's when I started really my singing career and all that stuff. So, I really consider myself a Bronx baby.
Yeah. What was it like growing up in the Bronx? You love the Bronx.
I love the Bronx. It's like no other. You don't really get a true sense unless you live in one of these boroughs.
Yeah.
You know, and to be a product of one of these boroughs, especially the Bronx, where so many greats have come out of.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost a privilege, you know, to be able to walk these blocks and see the difference in lives from one block to another. And it's, you know, be able to go to the bodega, you know, on the corner, or the corner store, or the Ox, or whatever.
And you got the Yankees. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. So we got everything we really need right here in the Bronx. We don't really got to go anywhere else.
Yeah,
you
no.
know? So the Bronx is home, and it always will be.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Now, you grew up in a music-filled house. What were some of the records that inspired you?
Oh, man. Just off top, I mean, Luther Vandross. Mm. Everything Luther Vandross ever made was playing in my house. I mean, Luther, Anita, Patti LaBelle. I mean, a lot of gospel artists as well, like Donnie and Kirk and, you know, the Clark sisters. You know, there was a lot of different things playing in our house that, you know, brought me up the way that I was brought up, you know, and gave me my taste in music and my style of singing and all that stuff. So there were a lot of oldies in my house, Donny Hathaway, and, you know, it was a good place to be in terms of music. We had a lot of good, you know, joints pumping up in the house.
Oldies, but they're goodies and they're classics.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These are some classic people whose legends, who are legends, and their stories will never, ever go away. You know, Whitney Houston and Stevie Wonder you know, now with PJ Morton and Jasmine Sullivan. Like, my taste in music is, I love good R&B.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say R&B is alive and well right now with the people who are taking the torch in terms of they're not necessarily mainstream yet, but there are a lot of people in the R&B world that are really taking it by storm right now.
How about the people, specifically the R&B artists that you listen to on the radio today? Do you feel like they're carrying the torch well?
I feel like there's been a line that's been kind of blurred between hip hop and R&B in this current moment of time. There are a lot of hip hop artists that I think are, you know, categorizing themselves as R&B artists, and, you know, you're not really feeling necessarily what the message is in that song. In
Would you songs. Consider one of those to be Tory Lanez?
Yes and no. I say yes because Tory Lanez originally came on the scene with a lot of, you know, upbeat kind of stuff, right? And where it was coming from was a lot of just, you know, summer vibey kind of, you know, R&B. It was like an upbeat summer vibe, kind of hip hop-y / R&B kind of pop kind of feel with what he was coming out. So I never really felt that, you know, that oomph that rhythm and blues brings to the table. You know, I never felt that rhythm and blues, you know, in that music. There was no soul really in that music. So I, you know, from my perspective at least, mm-hmm. which is why I'm saying yes and no, because art is art, and I can't knock somebody else for the art that they create, because it's not mine, it's theirs, you know? And if it's not for me, it's just not for me, and I can't knock them for that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
How do you feel about Chris Brown? I know people have a lot of conflicted opinions on him. Old Chris Brown, people go crazy for, but they say the newer, Heartbreak? Is that one of the
Heartbreak on the Phone.
Yeah, that album, people were kind of just turned away by a little bit.
I'm an old Chris Brown fan. I'm definitely an old Chris Brown fan. When he came out with like Loyal,
is when
I looked at him and I was like, really? Like this is not you.
Yeah.
And then for me, it just went downhill from there. Like it hasn't been, you know, the Chris Brown, like the With You Chris Brown, or even the Wall to Wall Chris Brown.
It wasn't
like. We don't have the Chris Brown that we used to have, but, you know, everyone goes through a growth period, and, you know, he's growing and evolving, and I can't, you know, he's Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. I just prefer his old music, you know, rather than his new music.
You mentioned before with Tory Lanez that you just don't feel the R&B, the rhythm and blues in his music. Who are some artists that you do feel the rhythm and blues?
Oh, man, just off the top, I mean, one of my top favorite artist right now is PJ Morton.
Okay.
PJ Morton, which he just won a Grammy for with JoJo for his single Say So.
Oh, with Casey then, right?
No, not Casey and JoJo.
Okay.
JoJo, she's an R&B singer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I've been following his work since Gumbo. I'm a recently new fan of his, but mm-hmm. PJ's really doing what R&B should have done this entire time. He's taking his experiences, he's writing from a place of complete truth, and he's amazed me, he's baffled me with the way that he can put his feelings into words. And sometimes I'm listening to his music and I'm just like, dag, I wish I wrote that, you know? like First Began, when he sang First Began, I just watched his live piano video. The album video, and he was singing First Began to his wife. And while he's singing the song, I'm just sitting back and I'm just like, dang, this guy's a genius.
Yeah.
I was like, so I really and truly believe that he's doing something really great with R&B, and R&B is alive and thriving because of, you know, artists like him.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm definitely gonna have to check him out because I haven't heard of him. This is the first time you brought him to me, so yeah. I'm always open to hear something new. Because I'm frankly tired of what I hear on the airwaves, especially when it comes to hip hop, which is a disgrace nowadays.
You and me both.
Oh my goodness! I mean, there's just nothing good in the hip hop right now.
Oh,
it's unbelievable. But tell me, Forrest West, what made you choose the name Forrest West?
Well, it's a deep story. It was a mix of how my mind was at the time. And how, you know, my thinking process was at the time that I created it. At that time, it was, and excuse my voice, I'm like really sick right now.
Oh, really?
But like around that time, I had so many ideas, you know, and I have so many ideas that like constantly just pile up in my head that I, you know, whether it be like a show or a new song or a concept or a movie, you know, concept. Or a ton of ideas that just pop up into my head for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking one day and I was like, I called them trees. I called them my trees of thoughts, you know, my trees of thought. And with that came the fact that, with that came the realization that in my brain, I can water these thoughts. I can either choose to nourish them or just let them die naturally. So all that being in a literal sense, in a figurative sense, I named it the forest. And so it was the forest. My mind is a forest full of trees of thought. And the West came from the fact that I really like Kanye West, which might get me sued in the future. But at this present moment, it's because I really love Kanye West. Mm-hmm. And that's just the honest truth. So, yeah, I love Kanye. Uh-huh. And I have a lot of ideas. That's for us, so that's for you. Yeah.
So does Kanye. He's always got crazy ideas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I love him and his ideas, his you know, his evolution, his growth. I'm a big fan of him. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to talk to him.
Yeah. And I'm sure you would love to work with him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the future.
Did you hear snippets and leaks of his album Yandi by any chance?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I had them all downloaded and... Which I probably shouldn't say either.
Did you hear the one with Charlie Wilson?
I did.
Yeah.
I heard every version. I downloaded every version. I downloaded a version and did the snips and the cuts and made them individual tracks so that I could put them on my phone to listen to.
Wow.
It was that serious. And so, you know, I listened to all of Yandi and I was excited for it to actually come out. And well, when Jesus is King came out, it was like a whole nother level for me. And
I know you were a big fan of that album.
I am a huge fan of that album. Being a believer, you know, being a Christian, it was really cool to see, you know, two major parts of my life kind of like mesh.
Come together.
And, you know, one of the people that, you know, I almost look up to, you know, in most aspects, you know, grow into a believer and grow and come home back to Christ is like, that was really cool for me. And, you know, of course it got a lot of feedback and a lot of backlash, but at the same time, it's hard for, it should be hard for other people to judge other people's journeys, you know, because we've seen where he's been, we've seen his downfalls and we've seen his come ups. So to see him, you know, finally make a move and stick to it so long at this point, you know, it was really cool for me. So that was an exciting thing for me.
Yeah, and that album was very influential for a lot of people, including yourself. Yeah. Now tell me, when did you start writing songs, composing?
Oh, man, I've been writing songs since probably like the fourth or fifth grade. And most of my songs started off as like poems. I still have an old tattered composition notebook in my house, you know, from fifth grade. Where I would write all my poems and all my thoughts and, you know, later make them into songs and take what I wanted from one piece and put it in another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always loved, you know, story writing and telling a story. So I've been writing songs for quite a long time, you know. On the contrary, All Night was not written a long time ago. All Night was... mostly freestyle. I'm not
really
gonna lie to you.
Wow.
All Night was pretty much freestyle in the studio, and I was just in the zone and just going and going and going. Mm-hmm. And I got a verse, and they were like, "Wow, this is a nice verse." Me and the producer, Fleece, shout out Fleece, and we were in the studio. And it was like, "Yo, that's a nice verse." Uh-huh. He was like, "Yeah, and got the hook. Yeah, that was a nice hook. Mm-hmm. We got it, and we just kept on going until the song was over." And
so you just came up with the hook on top of the head then.
Everything was off the top.
Off the top.
Everything was off the top. It was just, you know, it caused a lot of confusion with the opening lines, you know.
Yeah.
We'll take you to the hotel, top of the world in the motel. They're like, what? It doesn't make any sense. But
what comes easier to you, just off the top of the head or writing it down?
Most of my songs start off with off the top of the head, and if it's good enough for me to remember, then I'll write it down and make it into a song. I have a lot of voice notes. So there, I have a lot of voice notes where I just sit at home, turn on the computer, turn on some beats, and just freestyle my life away. And whatever I record, and I'll listen back if I need to. And if I like it, I'll write it down. So there are a lot of voice notes in here that are, you know, have a lot of new songs and old songs that might be released one day. Who knows?
Oh, and we'll be looking forward to that. So you mentioned that you have a lot of poems written down. Who are some poets that inspire you?
Oh, man. In terms of poetry, I can only name one woman, you know, that really drove me, and it was Maya Angelou. Okay. Because not just her, you know, her fight for women, it was her fight for us in general as a people, and you know how she had no problem, you know, it was not hard for her to make us shine. It was not hard for her to portray us as beings of art and, you know, beings that are beautiful, you know, especially in a world and in a climate where we were never looked at as, you know, superior, not superior, but beautiful beings, you know. So to be able to have somebody like that to look up to, that everyone looks up to and shares the same view of, it's a no-brainer that she's the driving force of my poetry and how I, you know, rhyme and how I get my messages out and stuff like that. So yeah, Maya Angelou is definitely it.
How about we listen to All Night? We get that on the airwaves again.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Yo, we got to get into that again because, you know, people need to hear it out here. Like I said, I want to get you as much exposure as possible.
I appreciate that.
Forest West is the next big thing in R&B. I believe that. I don't hear, you know, it's really rare to see someone like you and what you're doing for R&B, especially nowadays, because it's just raw vocals. A lot of people use auto-tune.
Right.
And they're not even rhythm and blues anymore, so people may consider R&B pop.
Right. A lot of people do consider it pop, and that's another very, very blurred line that that I don't think people are getting the grasp of, because I do think that R&B has found I believe R&B is starting to find its home.
Yeah.
I believe people are finally starting to separate pop and R&B, but of course it's going to take some time because there are always those artists who, you know, want to blur the lines and do both, and you know, so that's the current issue. But we're finding our way.
Yeah.
You know, R&B is finding its place and finding its home. So we'll be there soon.
Yeah. And I think Forest West is going to be the one to carry on that torch soon enough. So let's tune into All Night,
yes sir,
which is available on all platforms.
All platforms.
So make sure you go download it, support it, because it's a hit.
Yes, sir.
8:27 p.m. Mad Max Forest West. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah. That's right. I'm going to take you to the hotel, at the top of the world in a motel. We could party till the sun comes up. We're drunk. Baby, when I'm lonely, we ain't gotta keep it holy till we get to matrimony. Let's party all night till we vibe in the morning. Let's do the thing right, got the juice and Patronin'. We don't ever even have to wait, that's just the bleed I have to take. We gon' get crazy end of the day, tryna love in every way. In the club right now, and I might. Baby girl, let's take time. I could take time of the day or the time only for my baby, for my baby. You could be my one and only, be my baby when I'm lonely. We don't gotta keep it holy till we get to matrimony. In the morning, so let's do the thing right. Got the juice and Patronin'. We don't ever even have to wait. That's just the beat I have to take.
St. John's University. We are back from The Voice, WSJU Radio, Mad Max, 8:29 p.m. Forrest West is in the building with me.
Yes, sir.
If you've been tuning in. New York's own. Real R&B.
Real R&B.
Is what I call it. All night, you just heard it. You can purchase that on all platforms.
All platforms.
Don't just go on YouTube or give the preview off iTunes. Download it.
Download that.
Put
please.
Some money in this guy's
please.
Pocket. He deserves
please.
It. Real talent.
Please. I got to eat, y'all. I got to eat. Please download it. Stream it every day. You know, when you're at a party, tell the DJ put on All Night. If you don't have it, tell him shame on you. Mm-hmm. Please put money in my pocket. I got to eat, y'all.
Now, is there any major DJs that are playing this record?
I was actually on Rough Riders Radio not too long ago.
Okay.
DMX's radio station. Yeah. And they've been playing my song, you know, faithfully. So I got to shout them out big time. Everybody over there, Saucy and all of them over there, Sincere, DJ Rick Black, you know, all of them over there. Yeah. Y'all have been real family to me. So I got to shout them out because they've been pushing it real big. And everybody here, you know, at WSJU. Has really been pushing my stuff. So I'm really happy. I'm really grateful for everybody who's been, you know, pushing and streaming and downloading and purchasing and, you know, sharing, you know. I'm really grateful for all of y'all and all my fans and all my supporters and followers. I love all of y'all.
We got into the writing aspect before. Yeah. When did you start singing? What age?
That's hard to pinpoint because I've been singing my entire life.
Yeah.
So it's been, you know, it's almost like I came out of the womb singing. Rumor has it I came out of the room and sang in G sharp. All my musicians who heard that just now just laughed. But it's not a joke for everybody. But it was, you know, I've been singing my entire life. As soon as I was, you know, old enough to start leaving the house, I would go to church and be on the choir with my mom, you know, being in her arms while she's in choir rehearsal.
Would you say that's where you really learned how to sing?
Being definitely, in the choir? Definitely, definitely, definitely. I've been in choirs my entire life, you know, so whether it be with my mom or, you know, the New York City choir, YPC, being in a school choir, you know, being in school groups. I've always learned to sing with other people. You know, so finding my voice is a big thing for me. But being in choirs really gave me, you know, the theory that I needed, gave me the breath support that I needed, gave me everything that I needed to really be a solo performer, you know. So, Sawyer Cruz, my high school, I was in choir there all 4 years. And Miss Berglund, the music teacher, really, you know, instilled in me everything, the values, the morals, the theory, the art aspect and the appreciation for the arts that I really needed to, you know, really appreciate my gift and appreciate the gift of music to mankind, because it's not really appreciated the way it should be, you know. So really big props, you know, to the music education department at Celia Cruz High School. They really do their jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, to make sure, you know, children like us know music and appreciate music like how it should be appreciated. Mm. Yeah, so.
Or some other things that they may have taught you during your time there that you value right now.
Oh, man.
To this day.
Being humble.
Yeah.
You know, being grateful for what you have and not letting what you have, you know, distract you from what you're capable of getting, you know, and enjoying what you have so that you're not always looking forward to the better thing. Because if you're always looking forward to the next thing, you're never really going to truly appreciate what you have, you know. So just being humble and being grateful and really just accepting the opportunities that you do have and, you know, thanking the people who gave them to you, you know, so that Celia Cruz really instilled in me all my morals. Most of my morals and my moral values, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
now, All Night wasn't your first song, though, that you made and put out before.
No, it was not. I
I did a little stuffs on SoundCloud.
Uh-huh.
They're really old songs. I have maybe like two on there. They were never. It was like premature Forest West.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was like me sitting in my basement, you know, on a computer, and you know, just trying out these songs and saying, "Hey, this sounds pretty good. Maybe people will like it." You know, the first ever song that I ever released was not even a real song, and it says demo on it. I think all of them on SoundCloud say demo on them,
mm-hmm.
because I never got them mixed. I never did anything with them. They're just I mixed them myself and did all that stuff, so they sound terrible. And so the first one I did was 1981, which I did in probably like sophomore junior year of high school, and it was just something because people kept on asking me to put something out. And I was like, all right, I'm going to work on something and I'm going to put it out just a little bit, just to see if you guys like it. And I put it out and it like blew up around my school and everyone was singing my lyrics. That was the first time I experienced people singing my lyrics and playing my song and singing along to it. And it was just so, it was so different. It was so weird and so different to see people like enjoying you and enjoying the work that you put into something. And that was that I still don't know how to react when people, you know, sing my song and sing my lyrics. You know, it is so weird. It's so weird because you put your work into it and to see people liking it is amazing. And
I remember the first time I listened to All Night, the lyrics got stuck in my head. and that's the key for a hit maker.
Yeah.
Because if their songs get stuck in your head, that's it.
It's good. You did it.
You're taking off.
I did my job, you know?
Yeah.
But I really am glad for everyone who's, you know, listened to it and enjoyed it so much to the fact that they know the words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are my motivators.
Now, would you say that you were the star of your school?
No. Of course a lot of people knew me, but I can't say I'm the star of my school because there are so many wicked, talented people at CC
mm-hmm.
that, you know, just need their moment to shine and just need their moment to take their opportunity to, you know, just go out there. There's so many people with such great voices and such great talent in terms of just musical ability, like keyboard players and you know, drummers and saxophone players. It is literally like being in High School Musical, yet nothing like it. And, you know, it is there's just so much talent, you know, brewing in there that, you know, I could literally say our next generation of music could easily just be CC and it'd be completely fine.
Wow.
That's how powerful some of these people
are. Is there anyone else from your school that's getting noticed out there? I
have a couple. I actually, my friend, Chastity, well, her name is Angel now. Her stage name is Angel, but she's hopefully I'm going to get her in here for an interview soon.
Yeah.
But, she's been doing a lot of acting. She's been doing a lot of the acting stuff on like The Walking Dead and, you know, a couple of Amazon shows.
Yeah. You showed me this. Yeah.
So, you know, she's been doing her thing. My other friend, Shalange. She was just on American Idol.
Okay.
And doing this season of American Idol. So she's been doing her thing. My other friend, Kwaku, he's out here doing his thing on the African scene, his Afrobeat scene, and you know, taking the world by storm. So there are a lot of people that come from CC that are really, you know, starting to really get their, you know, grasp and really starting to find their place, you know. So I'm excited. I'm excited to what the future has in store for all of us, you know, and CC is a big part of that, mm-hmm. you know, for bringing us together.
I am too, and I like what I'm hearing that, you know, there's just so many talented people out there that you approve of, especially because I know you're a good judge of character. You know what's bad and what's good, so that's key.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
It's more than talent out here. It has a lot to do with personality.
Yeah.
And how you come across to people when you first meet them, you know, and that's something I've always been working on, you know, and trying to make better. But I can honestly say a lot of these people's, you know, a lot of my friends,
their personalities far, you know, outweigh their talent, and their talent is amazing. So to have a personality that outweighs such a gift is amazing, and to be able to meet them and, you know, experience them is amazing. So I love them to death. I love all my friends to death, and shout out y'all. Y'all are amazing.
Yeah.
Now, what's it like from your perspective when coming up, you know, you're just starting and you receive a negative comment? What do you think is the major factor in just keep moving forward and not letting that bother you?
I don't view any comments as negative. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just my thing, because everyone has an opinion, and, you know, to call an opinion negative is already being biased to me, you know? So it's, you know, a lot of them is either, you know, if it's like, you can't even really sing, it's like, thanks for your opinion. Thank you for, you know, stating what you wanted me to hear, and, you know, letting me know what you felt. If you want to elaborate on it, if you could tell me what I want to do better, then sure, let me know what I can
say,
do better.
You could say, oh, you're terrible at singing, but elaborate on it, right, and you won't be able to.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, if there's something, most negative comments are either just trolls.
Yeah.
You know.
Or they can't be you.
Right. I'm not going to say that.
I'm telling it like it is. You don't have to say it. You're humble.
I mean, it's just, you know, everything is constructive. I like to take everything constructively, and I always strive to make myself better in every aspect. So whether it be a negative comment about my singing, or, you know, my appearances, or, you know, my features, it's all out there. You got to expect it sometimes. There's good and there's bad, and you just have to be able to take them both, you know?
Yeah.
I wish them a good life. Keep on going.
Keep on going. And you know what? Forrest West is going to keep going further.
Yes, sir.
He's in his Lambo.
Yes, sir. Not yet. I'm eating lamb, but soon I'll be in a Lambo.
Soon. Very soon. What was your first big performance?
Oh, man. I have like two that are tied for like the top spot. One being the amateur night at the Apollo.
Yeah, okay, that's huge.
But the other one is Title X Brooklyn, mm-hmm. where I wasn't even a performer. I was a backup singer for Donnie McClurkin. And we did, I think it was in 2017. I think it was the same year as the Apollo. So that was like a year for me. And we did it. And it was a sold-out show, sold out the Barclays Center, an arena full of people. I mean, to go out there and see the flashlights and, you know, everything going, and the floaty sticks or whatever, the light sticks or whatever that they have. And the amount of celebrities I met, dude, the amount of celebrities was like, it got to a point where I almost kind of like checked out, because I was just like, all right. My brain can't take any more of this stuff.
And who were some of the celebrities that were in there?
Oh, man. I'll start with this. Just to give you guys a reference, you know, where we were, you could walk past Stevie Wonder's dressing room.
Oh, wow.
You could walk past Stevie Wonder's dressing room and hear him rehearsing in his room with the keyboard in his room. So he was sitting at a keyboard, no mic, no monitors, no band behind him, just Stevie at the keys rehearsing and singing. And it was in that moment I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know what to do next. I was like, I can be done here and I'll be just fine. I'll be good.
Not everyone gets to see or hear that.
At all. Yeah. You know, to see Stevie perform, period. I got to see him perform and rehearse. You know, and it was so weird, you know. Beyonce touched my shoulders.
Yeah.
Which was like, I'm a huge fan of Beyonce, so Beyonce touching my shoulders doesn't sound that appealing to everyone else. But to me, in that moment, she touched my shoulders and told me to move, and it was the most exciting moment I've ever had
really?
In my life.
She told you to move?
And she didn't tell me to move, but I was like in the way. I was watching the show from Jay-Z was performing.
Okay.
It was near the end of the night. Jay-Z had just finished his set. I think like Angie Martinez or something had come on to introduce J-Lo or something like that. And the entire time, I'm already seeing these all these celebrities pass. I saw J-Lo preparing for a set, Cardi B as she went on, Chris Brown, Remy Ma, Fat Joe, that's when All the Way Up first came out. And, yeah. You know, there were so many just superstars just walking they're normal. Yeah. And I was like, this is crazy. So I was standing in the back watching from a monitor, and I was expecting, because crew is going to move you sooner or later. There's like an entire party happening behind the stage. It's either you're behind the stage, in front of the stage, or you're in the dressing rooms. Mm. So I'm standing in the middle of the corridor watching it on a monitor screen, and I feel two arms on my shoulder. And I'm thinking, all right, it's the crew. They're telling me to get ready to go. Jay-Z's probably going to walk through here, and they don't want anybody through here. And I turn around, and it's the Beyonce Giselle Knowles. And I froze. Uh-huh. I just froze, and I didn't know what to do. And she was like, excuse me. And I didn't know what to do next.
You it was just frozen.
It was her, and Jay-Z was standing right behind her. No security. There was probably like one security guard behind them. But it was like, I was like, you feel safe? Like around me? Am I that important to you? I love you. And I didn't know what to say at that point. But it was like, she said, excuse me. And it was so weird. And I moved and was starstruck. And Jay-Z came up behind her in his classic Jay-Z voice. He was like, I'm sorry about that. And he dapped me up. He was like, I'm sorry. She has that effect on people. And they just kept walking, and that was the end of it. And I didn't know how to react after that. That was one of the craziest.
If you know Forrest
ever.
West, you know he could do a great Jay-Z impersonation.
Yeah, you already know what it is.
Oh my goodness! You'll have to do a cartoon.
I got you. I got you.
Do the voiceover cartoon Jay-Z.
Please don't sue me, Jay. Rock Nation, if y'all listen to this right now, please don't sue me. You know, it's just. I was born with it. That's it.
And you had to perform as a backup singer on that stage.
Yeah. I was a backup singer amongst an entire choir. And the feeling on stage was second to none. I mean, to see all the cameras on you. Mind you, it was being live streamed and on Tidal, you know. So once in a while, I'll go back and I'll see myself, you know, on the screen. And it feels so surreal, you know, even to think back to that moment, because just to see all that, to see a sold out arena.
Yeah.
And you on stage, the main stage, it was a feeling like never before. It's something that I definitely want to feel again.
And you deserve it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And let's get to the other performance now at the Apollo.
Yeah. The Teen Takeover, July. I'm not going to tell you the date yet. July, it will be this year, 2020, this summer. Be there or be square. I will announce all the information with the tickets and where you can buy them and where you can purchase and how you can find them. You can go to my page on Instagram at forest.west with two R's, the forest is two R's. Forest.west on Instagram, or my company, my production company account, The Dream Space NYC. And you can find all the information there on where you can purchase the tickets, where you can, you know, support in any way possible. So, yeah, you can find me on July 7th. Oops. July 2020 on the Apollo stage, Teen Takeover.
And you're big for doing covers. You have some on your YouTube. Who are some covers that you've done?
I did Jealous by Labyrinth, which was a pretty big one for me. A lot of people gravitated towards that. I did a Trip remix that a lot of people tended to like. I've done Remedy, Adele. I've done quite a bit. There's a lot of stuff on there that people can listen to. Same name under everything.
Yeah.
But I started off with covers because that was, you know, just my way of getting immediate emotional release. You know, I would just sit down and be like, okay, I got to make a cover, and I don't want to release a song right now, because I don't have the means to just sit down and release a song like that. I'm not that rich yet. So I would just sit down and record a cover at my desk and, you know, give it to the world, you know, just to get my emotions out there.
A big one that if you follow Red TV at St. John's University, you did a performance cover.
Yes, sir.
Stand by me. Benny King.
Yes, Ben E. King. Shout out Red TV, man. It was so amazing to be on the Noon Show, to be able to have that performance opportunity. For them to design a set specifically for me was something that I've never gotten anywhere else, and it was a pretty surreal moment, you know, to be under that kind of light and camera action, you know, environment. And, you know, to do it with the people that I love is more than I can ask for, you know. So shout out Red TV. You guys made my dreams come true. Mm. And I'm excited, man, for what's to come, to work with them again, you know, and, you know, get some good stuff going.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
I am too. And how about we let WSJU Radio and the people listening, your performance?
Oh, yeah. You got it?
Yeah.
You got the performance. Got That's cool.
Let's get that played on WSJU Radio.
Listen to it.
Benny King would be proud. He would be.
Yes, sir. Shout out Noon Show, man. Dario.
Mad Max. Forest West, 8:51 p.m. Stay tuned.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. No, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Won't you stand now? Stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon, should tumble and fall, and the mountains, they should crumble to the sea, I won't cry. You stand by me.
And you just heard it. Forest West performance.
Yes, sir.
On the Noon Show.
Yes, sir. I love being there. The Noon Show is my favorite place to be. love being with the crew. I love being with the cast. It's really cool. So shout out the new show. Shout out Red TV. Yeah, shout out the host, Dario. It's really fun to be there. It's really fun to be with you guys, and I hope to do it again. So,
how long did it take to prepare for this performance?
Jokingly, like, no time at all.
No time.
It was like it was such a last minute thing. It was just like, do you want to do this thing at the end of the week? And I was like, yeah, sure. And we did it, and the closer it got, the more important it got, and, like, the more excited I got for it. And when the time finally came, it was just like, I can't believe I'm really doing this. I was so nervous to get on the stage. I was literally sweating pigs. it was really bad and nerve-wracking. But when I got it, when it was time, I really finally settled into myself. And you said, I just got to do it, you know. So it was cool. It was really cool.
Would you say that this was the most tough song that you ever had to cover?
No. Gosh. I'm only saying that because there are a lot of songs that I covered that I never released. I have, like, a lot of Broadway songs.
Okay.
That I covered and never released. And I think the hardest song for me ever was, not ever, but one of the hardest songs for me recently has been, like, I'm Here from The Color Purple by Cynthia Erivo, because no voice could match Cynthia Erivo's. So I love the song so much, but I just can't get it the way that she gets it. So that's the song that's been, like, I've been working on. That's, like, my hobby song that I've been working on, you know, on the down low. Yeah.
In the future, I'm sure we want to hear more covers from Forest West.
Yeah. You got them.
We want to hear more, though, in the future. Who are some covers that you want to do in the future and put out?
I recorded a Luther Vandross cover like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, that I've been sitting on. Like, I went to a studio and, you know, did the recording and mixed it. It's all mixed and mastered and just sitting in my email, just waiting to be put out there.
Just sitting there.
It's just literally just sitting there. So
when are we going to get to hear this?
Maybe soon. Maybe really soon. Maybe in a week. Maybe in a month.
I think we should let him wait a little longer than that. We're still digesting the great Stand By Me performance.
You might. But, yeah, I'd love to do a lot more oldies and, you know, a lot more, you know, sad songs. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. I'd like to do a couple more emotional songs to really push at people's buttons, you know?
That's just Why do emotional that. Songs appeal to you?
Because I think right now in my life is a really emotional time. Mm-hmm. I'm going through a lot of changes, you know, and, you know, when it comes to friendships and relationships, I'm going through a lot of changes, and a lot of things are happening really fast. And, you know, it's a lot to take in. So emotional songs are where I get to release. And so there are going to be a lot of covers and originals that are really going to showcase what I've been going through and in my journey so far. So I think emotional, I like to stick to emotional, because emotional is, you know, how I get my transparency out there, you know.
And here we go, Dario in the studio now from Red TV and WSJU Radio. He had a suggestion, and you saw the song.
I saw the song. I saw the stickers. I saw the replies. My girl, maybe one of them, maybe. I'll leave it at that.
I'd like to see you cover Charlie Wilson.
Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie's a hard one. Uncle Charlie is Uncle Charlie. Yeah. You know, it's hard to, you know.
Or even get an Isley Brothers song.
That might be nice in one of the next ones. I gotta think about it and get everything together. Maybe I'll start experimenting tonight. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Who knows?
Now, we don't have to talk about music, but how about, because this is a big life decision, what made you choose to come to St. John's University?
Oh, man. It was a lot. I was originally going to go to Columbia and to do medicine. Mm. And it was right out of high school, and I was surprised that they accepted me. And I had never visited the campus. I had never visited St. John's University campus until orientation. And there was just something about the, I don't know if it was the, the packet, they said. I don't know what it was. It was like a student's day where I came just for, you know, them to show us around the campus and stuff like that. And we stayed overnight. And it was orientation. I had already accepted it because they gave me the most money. And, you know, Columbia was wanted just a lot. And I was like, I was gonna go to St. John's just for the money purposes. But when I got here, it was like, whoa, I love this place. It was like everything I've ever wanted on a campus. You could see the city from here. Everyone was nice to me. You know, it wasn't the same as high school. I could start all over again and be able to just, you know, find my place organically, you know, again in this new setting and, you know, start this chapter of my life in a place that I really and truly love, you know, that has everything that I need. You know, so St. John's really just felt like home to me as soon as I stepped on campus. So that's mm-hmm. that's how I got here.
How about this? How did you hear about WSJU Radio?
Literally Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean, weirdly enough, I was walking past. I had a class last semester, which last semester was my first semester. I had a class on the third floor, and I was walking up the stairs. And as I came out of the stairs, I saw this huge TV with cameras, and there were just people just chilling in what looked like a studio. And I was like, whoa, there's a studio here.
Yeah.
And I saw the WSJU, The Voice.
St. John's best kept secret.
Right. And so I was walking past, and I heard Frank Ocean. I heard, I think it was Nikes. Nikes was playing. Somebody was playing Nikes off of Blonde.
Yeah.
And anywhere that I go that I hear Frank Ocean, I'm instantly attracted because Frank Ocean is my life.
Mm-hmm. And is he your favorite?
He is my beyond favorite. He is literally my life. I have everything he's ever released, whether it was leaked or not. I mean, the Lonnie Bro collection, which is like 63 tracks, is like just sitting in my music library. And I just listen to his music all the time, you know, so hearing it here was just like another sign to say, okay, you're going in there. And that was the rest is history, mm-hmm. you know? So
what's your favorite Frank Ocean project?
Wow, that's a hard question. I would probably have to say Nostalgia Ultra, which not a lot of people listen to, because it was never really released on platforms. But Nostalgia Ultra, I think, has most of the best songs for me in terms of like Strawberry Swing Nostalgia Ultra and Unreleased Miscellaneous. Those two albums have the best songs to me. They have all of my favorites, and they just really give out the true Frank Ocean, the raw Frank Ocean that everybody wasn't used to, you know? So we all know who Frank Ocean was before, you know, he became Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
You know, so that I think is where the raw Frank Ocean really lies in those two projects. So those are my favorite. Yeah.
And I tend to ask a lot of R&B artists that come on my show. I sound like a broken record player at times, but how do you feel about Jacquees and him thinking that he's the king of R&B?
Do I really? Okay. Jacquees. I personally don't care for his music.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't really listen to it. But, you know, as I said before, to each his own. You know, everybody has their way of making art. And I'd be way out of pocket to say that, you know, he hasn't done his due diligence and he hasn't garnered his fan base and he hasn't done his thing. This is what he does. And, you know, I personally don't really listen, but there obviously are a lot of people that do, or so he wouldn't be such a big name, you know. So I appreciate his hustle. I appreciate, you know, his work ethic and his way of getting to the top. And, you know, yeah, that's Jacquees. In terms of King of R&B, though, no.
Yeah, no.
No, that couldn't. No, that's not
going to happen. Him pulling up on Keith Sweat is just a disgrace.
Yeah, no, that's not. That. Yeah, no, that can't. I don't know what he was thinking, yeah. But it was wrong.
Yeah.
And Jacquees.
Future King of R&B is in the booth with me.
Right oh, now. Lord. I'm not even going to take that title. I do not want to be the next Jacquees.
No, you're going to be Forrest West. He's going to be Forrest West.
Yes, sir.
So,
yeah.
So tell me, Forrest, what's the next single we can expect?
I got a couple things brewing. I got a couple things. It's a surprise, but I got a couple things brewing pretty soon. If you look, if you just stay tuned to my social medias, my Instagram especially, I have a lot of things that are coming out of the woodworks that might just pop up out of nowhere, you know? So you never know with Dream Space and everything that's happening with Dream Space. There are a lot of shows. There are a lot of, you know, recorded segments and a lot of, you know, concerts in the works. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you never know. Something may be out really soon. So look forward to it.
And that's right. You have this whole Dream Space thing that you've created since you came at WSJU Radio. Mm-hmm. How'd you come up with that idea?
Dream Space came to mind when I wanted some place where artists could really feel like they're in a safe place, you know, in a safe space to be able to really, you know, express themselves emotionally and be able to use their physical surroundings as an advantage to really convey their messages,
yeah,
and to really convey what they're feeling, you know, in their heart, their mind, and their soul. And Dream Space, I believe, is something that can really, you know, aid that, you know, and help the transparency that music really needs at this point. And yeah, to be able to perform with just the colors that you like, the backgrounds that you like, and the settings that you like, and to be able to just do that around, you know, people who are sincerely and genuinely rooting for you, is a really cool environment to be in, and it's such a positive environment to be in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm really excited for what's to come with the artists that are going to be on there.
Mm. How many artists do you have on there currently?
Gosh, who have we done so far? We've done Ken so far. We've done Hugo so far. We've done Dom so far. We've done photo shoots with literally everyone, all the producers, almost everyone. Almost everyone, most of the producers. And, you know, we have a lot of artists that are coming to the scene, you know, that we can't name until mm-hmm. we release them. But yeah. it's going to be a really cool thing to have and to watch and to experience.
Yeah. So. And what matters is that these people that you're gathering together are talented.
They're talented.
Because in this day and age, everyone thinks they're a star because of social media.
Right. I mean, these people are talented and, I mean, have such a vision for themselves, you know? And the fact that they're from St. John's, you know,
yeah,
all of the artists, yeah, that we've had so far are from St. John's and they're local. And, you know, even if I can just use this as a platform to be able to promote St. John's students, you know, and be able to get, you know, us as a group on the map and as a school even more on the map, just not for basketball. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot more than just basketball here.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
And so, you know,
we're more valuable than them, I think. we have more wins than them.
Oh Lord. Not gonna get into sports, not me. But there is a lot of talent on St. John's campus that, you know, deserves to be listened to and looked, yeah, at and put on a platform. So if I can be the segue and Dream Space can be the segue, you know, to publicity, then sure. You know, yeah, why not? Why not help when you can, right? So that's Dream Space.
And you're big with videography, and I want to thank you for doing my promo,
yeah,
for my show, which was just incredible.
Thank you, thank you.
I don't have the time and money to, you know, hire my own videographer, but that, yeah, came, man, out fire, and I got a lot of great feedback on it. Everyone at the station liked it,
yeah, man,
and I know a lot of people are probably going to be reaching out to you at the station to do it for them as well, and that's a big opportunity for you.
Pretty cool, man. Anywhere that I can help, I like to help, mm-hmm, you know. Everything that I've been given is such a gift from, mm-hmm, you know, from God, and I refuse to take it for granted,
mm-hmm,
you know. So the gifts that he's given me, I just want to use them to be able to help everyone else. That's what they're there for. You know, that's what gifts are there for, to help other people. So anywhere that I can fit in a place to help, I will help. Anywhere that I can help somebody move forward, I will help them move forward. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just here to help. That's who I am.
And going back to before, that's what your high school taught you, being humble, and as you can see today, you're very selfless in helping people out.
Yeah, I had to find myself, because I wasn't always, you know, so, you know, I can't even find the word right now. I wasn't always so like this, you know. There definitely was a time where I was an arrogant, you know, person
really?
that
you
nobody
changed,
really
you changed,
wanted to.
You changed your being.
I had to realize that, you know, not everything revolves around me. You know, mm-hmm. that, you know, things happen. You know, things change, people change, and you have to go with it, and you have to be able to take what's given to you and make the best out of it, and make positivity out of any negativity that's thrown your way. So as long as I can make anything negative into a positive, I'm chilling, and I'm doing what I've been sent here to do. You know, so I just had to look at the bright side of things and be able to live my life on the bright side of things. And that's how it goes for me.
And I definitely want to touch this before I close out, because we'll be closing out a little early tonight.
Yeah.
As I think we got a lot of points established and covered here on the show at 9:10 p.m. Farewell to Kobe Bryant and Gigi.
Yeah.
And the people in the tragic helicopter accident. There was just a great ceremony that they put on today at the Staples mm-hmm. Center. And you know, my condolences go out to the family, his yeah. wife, yeah, his man. Kids, families, friends, everyone affected by that. You know, and just major respect to his wife for getting up there and just yeah. handling it the way yeah. she did.
Yeah.
Because it is such a rough, unfortunate, devastating.
It's tragic. Yeah. And it was so unexpected. You know, it was like everyone looked up to Kobe, whether you played basketball, watched basketball or not. Yeah. Kobe was just an all-around inspirational guy.
Mamba mentality.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So it was like to lose him so tragically, and his daughter, you know, and everyone else on the yeah. flight, was just like something so tragic can happen in so little time that it just teaches you to really just live your life and to really appreciate everything that you've been given, the people that you've been given, and the companions that you've been given, to really just appreciate what you have, because today could be here and today and tomorrow couldn't, you know, it can go away. So, mm-hmm. you know, definitely condolences to the family. I can't even imagine what they're going through right now. It's, you know, God be with them, man.
Yeah.
God be with them through this time.
And we all know that Kobe affected each and every person on the face of the earth and around the world.
Yeah.
How did he affect you personally?
Oh, man. Mamba mentality was just a part of who I am. It is a part of who I am. And you know, the sense of perseverance and the sense of, you know, not taking no for an answer is just, you know, how I think everyone should live. You know, I believe everyone should be ambitious in what they believe in and in what they stand for, and for your goals. I believe that everyone should truly have that Mamba mentality when reaching for them and your dreams. And I believe that Kobe was really, really, really such a staple and such the definition of what perseverance should be, and you know what really being a king was. He really just embodied powerfulness. He was powerful. He was a very powerful man. And in the way he spoke, in the way he played, in the way he talked, in the way he taught, and that will never, ever leave me. You know, it will never leave me. And he will always be in my thoughts. So that's Kobe, man. Yeah. Kobe's important to me.
Yeah, rest in peace. Yeah. Rest in peace to Kobe Bryant, Gigi, and the rest of the victims in the travesty. And Forrest West, anything else you want to get out on the airways on my show tonight? Now's your time.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram for all the newest information, whatever you want to be able to hear, and all my announcements and performances and single and album release dates and all that stuff will be on Instagram. For at forest.west, forest with two R's, .west.
Yeah, you can catch me on radio shows here on WSJU, Thursdays, 1:30 through 3 p.m.
You have an interview coming out, too.
I have an interview coming up on Thursday, coming out on Thursday with Jack Ross, an R&B singer who is amazing coming up on the scene. He's just unapologetically black, and it is the best thing to see right now in this climate. And so I'm really excited for the interview I have with him coming out this Thursday.
That's good.
And just stay tuned. There's a lot of good stuff coming out. So, yeah, keep yourself posted.
Yes,
keep in tune.
Keep them posted. And where can they follow you on Twitter? You got the Twitter, too.
I got the Twitter. The Twitter is like a personal account, but I'll keep it over for now before I close it, I guess. Right. The Twitter is at TheForestWestB. Once again, that's TheForestWestB. You can follow me on Twitter there. I don't really post anything on there, but, you know, you guys can follow me there and keep. Maybe I'll get back on there soon. Everyone's getting back on Twitter now, so yeah. I guess.
That's where we get all our news from.
Right. So I guess I'll get back on Twitter soon enough. Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah.
Forest West, thank you for coming. Yeah, you know, it's a pleasure to have you, man.
Thanks for having me.
And when the album drops, I want you back in the chair.
Yes, sir. I'll be here. You got exclusivity.
Yes, you already know what it is. All Night is available on all platforms. Forest West, the future of R&B, is in the building on WSJU Radio. Mad Max tuning out 9:15 p.m. All Night. Make sure you download it. Available on all music platforms. Back on the airways Wednesday night, 9 p.m.
Take you to the hotel, atop of the world in a motel. We could party till the sun comes up. We're drunk. You could be my one and only. Be my baby when I'm lonely. We ain't gotta keep it holy till we get to matrimony. Let's party all night till we vibe in the morning. Let's do the thing right. Got the juice and your Patron. Trying to love in every way. Let's get right. We could lose all in the club right now. And I might. Baby girl, let's take time. I could take time of the day or the time only for my